Geography. Free space for geography. Extending teaching and learning methods beyond the boundaries of campus.
Did you hear about Frontline?
Well, Frontline is camping
with Frontline.
Frontline, by the way, has outstanding productions.
Geography Frontline.
Hey Frontliners, how are you today? This is episode 112 of Geography Frontline, and we have an interesting topic for today's show. It might be one of these concepts you are familiar with, but there are always the possibilities of a different kind of angle to look at it. I'm talking about gentrification. So today's topic is the art of gentrification. From December 6th through 9th, Miami Beach, Florida will host the 11th edition of Art Basel Miami Beach, the most prestigious art show in the Americas. More than 260 leading galleries from North America, Europe, Latin America, Asia, and Africa will take part, showcasing works by more than 2,000 artists of the 20th and 21st centuries. Why are we talking about art? Aren't we supposed to talk about geography? Well, this is not the section about announcements, and I certainly do not want to switch from geography to art in this podcast. So, does any one of you have an idea why I came up with this topic? Art Basel Miami Beach kicks into full gear this week, bringing nearly 500,000 people from across the globe to Greater Miami. And why are so many people coming to Miami? What is so special about this city that it hosts the biggest art conference or show of the Americas? Art and design have played big roles in Miami's revitalization. From South Beach's restored Art Deco treasures to the more recent redevelopment of the Design District and the Wynwood Arts District. Homes to galleries, private museums, collections, bars and restaurants. That sounds more like a geographical topic, right? Redevelopment, revitalization, all happening in an urban district. Art and culture are increasingly important components of urban redevelopment efforts everywhere. This sentence is taken from an article titled The Most Artistic Cities in America, and gives us an idea how art could play an important role for geography. So art, in the case of Miami, Florida, seems to have an enormous impact on the city, especially the old warehouse district, Wynwood, where many galleries are located. Let's go on reading here. Rampant with gang graffiti, it was full of rats, full of the homeless, full of drugs and prostitution, said Celso Ahumada, who directs the city's neighborhood enhancement team for Wynwood. Now the area, bound roughly by Northwest 36th Street, Northeast 1st Avenue, Interstate 95, and Northwest 20th Street, is home to more than 70 galleries. There you have it. The art of revitalization. Extremely geographical, right? Okay, now this is a jingle, not for a new topic, but for a new section. This week's input for Geography Frontline from our Facebook page, Frontline on Facebook. Because Mark has posted a link that made me look at Miami and Wynwood in the first place. And he writes, remember gentrification? These short films show the socio-economic renewal of urban neighborhoods in Wynwood, Miami, Florida by the use of street art. And he attaches a link where you can open that website of the project Here Comes the Neighborhood, and more specifically five short videos of that project about Wynwood street art. And let's have a listen. With all the different concepts here, Wynwood is like a heaven for all of everyone. Maybe this is what we will all see the day we die. Hopefully the place will look like this. So many colors and different visions, finding more things than we have lived in this life. Yeah, this was Mexican street artist Sainer, who created a beautiful wall together with Sego, also an artist from Mexico. Public art is a powerful weapon. It's incredible to change the vision of a city with your art. Yeah, change the vision of a city with your art. I think that this is really amazing. And if you take a look at the art that can be found in the streets of Wynwood, you just immediately want to go there. I spent quite some time on Google Maps in the street view mode to check out the different sites with painted walls, and this is really fun. And if you want to, just do it yourself. And if you stumble over a nice wall, make a screenshot and post it on our Facebook wall. This is fun. Yeah. So, to sum it up, do you get Mark's link to gentrification when we are talking about art here and public art especially? We have a neighborhood that was really down about 10 years ago. Housing prices, quality of life, and you can add that to a milieu with drugs and prostitution. Not exactly the place where you want to live, right? So we have artists moving in. They need the space for exhibitions in case of Wynwood, the outside walls of the buildings to perform their art. And these pioneers can attract people with more money. We know that, right? The district gets even more interesting, gets an interesting new image, and the gentrifiers put in a lot of money to upgrade the houses so that they can live there in this new chic neighborhood with lots of bars, fine restaurants, and so on. So we know this from our textbooks, but does gentrification work for Wynwood? How did this upgrading process in Wynwood start in the first place? Let's read from the article, Wynwood Street Art Gets Wall-to-Wall Revival, in the Miami Herald. And here it says, "It's going to knock your socks off," said Tony Goldman, the real estate maven who jump-started the reinvention of Wynwood as an arts district when he spent $35 million on 25 properties here beginning in 2004. So, this wasn't a real estate agent doing all this? Yeah, really? Is gentrification about gentrifiers upgrading the place, or is it about real estate businesses? Well, let's go on reading. Two decades later, Goldman capitalized on the energy already reverberating in Wynwood, seeing in its growing nucleus of artists and rows of abandoned warehouses all the DNA of an arts district. I thought, what can I do to bring pedestrians to the streets? If I read this right, frontliners, then pioneers, like artists, had already been living in Wynwood when Goldman entered the game, right? So, here you can read, Goldman also is expanding on the wall's younger sibling, Wynwood Doors. Now it's doors, not walls anymore. And plans to offer new performance art and a pop-up shop during Art Basel 2011, that art show we just heard about in the first discussion section of the podcast. There you have it, right? Art as an economic asset to upgrade a neighborhood and get the housing prices up. And Goldman isn't the only player. When real estate developer David Lombardi began buying property 10 years ago, he said 70% of the neighborhood was vacant. Only two galleries existed. Okay, not very much of pioneers around during that time, right? In part, Goldman and others have revitalized by capitalizing on the very facet seen as a neighborhood scourge. It's street art. Making lemons into lemonade is the essence of Wynwood, said Lombardi, who himself owns 40 properties. Making lemons into lemonade. Does that sound like gentrification to you? Lemons from Lemonade is the name of today's song. It's from the Celebrity Pilots from the album Beneath the Pavement, a beach. So, While listening to this song, think about what you could send in as a comment about this revitalization or gentrification process. Just send an email to comment@geography.com or talk to the voicemail. Skype name is Geography. Making lemons into lemonade.
Cocktails, you remember spray. Bad fortune quarantines your precious things. I have something to say as night begins, and the riots in the street will take you in. Kiss the door outstanding. Fights you choose to fight. Sail on your bad seas. Sail on your bad seas now.
Lemons from Lemonade, the Celebrity Pilots from their album Beneath the Pavement, a Beach from the Podsafe Music Network. You find that on music.mevio.com. And the links to both the US and the German version of the album are, as always, in the show notes.
What's that sound?
Next stop, our sound riddle for this episode. Last week, there was this modem-like sound. All right, modem-like sound that, as all sounds played in this section, should help us to sensitize ourselves for the sonic environment, right? So, here's what episode 111 sounded like. Whoa! So, here's one guess from Mila. The comment is in German, so I'll try to translate it, right? He says, hi. So the sound you've played last episode should have been a closing door of a train, right? And is it okay, by the way, that I'm writing in German? greets from Münster, Mila. The closing door of a train. Could this be? Let's listen again. Absolutely right. Perfect. That's what it is. And about the fact that you sent in your comment in German. This is to all frontliners, by the way, that would love to send in comments, but don't trust their language skills. It's fine. It's fine to send in your comments in German. I would prefer to get English comments, right, from you as well, but ideally spoken ones, even better. But written German feedback is a start. Perhaps you could just give it a try and write something in English. Don't worry about some mistakes. This show is not about the English language. It's about geography, right? So, okay, all right. So let's have a listen to today's new sound riddle. This one might be a little harder to guess, but any suggestions are highly appreciated. What does cause such a sound? So, if you have any idea, just send me an email or talk to the voicemail. I'm curious if any one of you will solve this sound riddle. Abandon nuclear energy. Remember, last week we've talked about that topic. And also we had a quick vote for that. So, here are the results for quick vote from Frontline episode 111, Abandon nuclear energy. That would be a disaster, answered 0% of the Frontline community. Also, no one had another opinion, but 25% said that abandoning nuclear energy would push the economy. Well, okay, nice. And also 25% said it could be a smart move to abandon nuclear energy. But 50%, and that's the winner for episode 111's quick vote, is saying abandon nuclear energy? Huh, that's not realistic. Well, answer B. It's just not realistic. Yeah, so a winner. So this week, we also have a quick vote. And for that, let me just bring up that jingle again. Yeah, can art transform a neighborhood? Ah, that's for sure that we're talking about this in the quick vote as well. So can art transform a neighborhood? Answer A. Yes, it can. Because... Or B. No, it can't. Because... Yes, you're right. Only two possible answers to this episode's Geography Frontline quick vote. And why only two answers? Because I would love to get some comments from you on this topic. To write down your because, just vote for either yes or no, and then after submitting your vote, start a new comment in the up-popping results window. And let's see if the frontliners like the idea of art as a savior of the urban environment or not. You know, frontliners, if you're trying to do something new, you can never be sure if people will like it or not. That's for sure. And that goes for this podcast, too. And this section, especially this section, Humboldt's Voyage, only exists since I started to produce Frontline in English. Now 6 episodes or so. So I'm really happy that the first short comment came in that simply says, "Love the Humboldt snippets." Wow, nice. Thank you. So let's hear what Humboldt is up to on his voyage to the Americas in 1799. Perhaps you probably remember Humboldt is near the town of Orotava on the Canary Islands. And he's on a peak where he describes the scenery. That's where we stopped last time and where I'm going on reading today. From the groups of palm trees and bananas which line the coast, to the region of the arbutus, the laurel, and the pine, the volcanic rock is crowned with luxuriant vegetation. Yeah, rich vegetation on volcanic rock doesn't surprise us frontliners, right? If you think about how fertile the ground would be there, right? Volcanic rock, you know that from geomorphology. You should know that. So, yeah, he's talking about the volcano a little more. The volcano rises above the horizon, scarcely as much as Vesuvius seen from the mole of Naples. The aspect of the peak is still very majestic when those who anchor in the road discern it for the first time. The peak of Tenerife, notwithstanding its pyramidal form, is a great part of the year enveloped in vapors. Mm-hmm. And why is that, frontliners? Do you have any idea? Perhaps one or two of the physical, geographical, very firm frontliners could answer that question, right? Humboldt's explanation reads like this. He says, its position, so the volcano's position, to the west of an immense continent and its insulated situation in the midst of the sea are no doubt the causes of this phenomenon. Hmm. So if you agree or disagree, you can just send in a comment and let me know what you think of that. What Humboldt was writing in 1799. And after exploring the region around Orotava, Humboldt is traveling the whole island. And finally, he comes to the town of Laguna. A great number of chapels, which the Spaniards call ermitas, encircle the town of Laguna, shaded by trees of perpetual verdure and erected on small eminences. These chapels add to the picturesque effect of the landscape. The interior of the town is not equal to its external appearance. The houses are solidly built, but very antique, and the streets seem deserted. Here we learn a little about the settlement, but Humboldt is way more concerned about physical geographical issues, as you might have heard from the last episodes, right? I'm skipping a few pages where he's talking about the temperature in all these towns he's traveling on the island. And then on page 109, that's how far we've come. He's talking about something we've also talked about in the last episodes. Pursuing our course to the port of Orotava, we passed the smiling hamlets of Matanza and Vitoria. These names are mingled together in all the Spanish colonies, and they form an unpleasing contrast with the peaceful and tranquil feelings which those countries inspire. Matanza signifies slaughter or carnage, and the word alone recalls the price at which victory has been purchased. In the New World, it generally indicates the defeat of the natives. At Tenerife, the village of Matanza was built in a place where the Spaniards were conquered by those same Guanches who soon after were sold as slaves in the markets of Europe. And we've talked about the meaning of names. And I think it was two or three episodes ago, as I said, and that's always a good indicator of the history of a place. What happens next? I think we just skip that and talk about what happens next. When he goes back to the port of Orotava and tries to go on his ship, embark his ship to the Americas again. We talk about that in the next episode of Geography Frontline. This week's announcements are once again about Frontline itself, not about an upcoming conference or a symposium or something like this. About 4 weeks ago, I presented some new flyers and posters for the show that should help to get Frontline more recognized within the geographical community, if there is such a thing as a geographical community, but within people just interested in geography. And I just want to let you know that both posters and flyer are still available via www.geography.com/promo. And I would really like to invite you to help me out here. Yeah? Perhaps you could just print a poster and put it up somewhere in or near your department or institute or any area where potential new listeners might see it. And make use of the flyer. You can simply order a 4 to 6 inch or 10 to 15 centimeters postcard from it. And very likely for free. If you just take a look at all the online offers from photo websites. New customers often get some 50 or even 100 prints for free. And 100 frontline flyers can really make a difference, believe me. Finally, you could just send an email with a link to this episode or the whole Geography Frontline podcast to your friends or people that might like to take a listen. And a post on your own Facebook wall might also be a really good idea to get the word out. We need more listeners, that's for sure. We need more subscribers, more producers of the podcast. So let's do something about it. Come on, frontliners. This is it. Episode 112 of Geography Frontline comes to an end. Don't forget to comment on this episode's topics or on any topic of existing episodes. You can always catch up on something we've already talked about. And once again, it was a real pleasure talking to you. Keep sending comments. Don't stop listening. And never forget this one thing. The network is us.